Father, thank you for this morning and this opportunity to gather together on a day of celebration for two families and all of us as we join with them. Pray that you'd speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to have Ella and Oliver here with us this morning. It's a privilege to baptize people. I love it. And I've spent a little bit of time with both families in the last couple of weeks, and it's been lovely to get to know them a little bit. Having a baby is a pretty daunting task, especially for the mum. About three people agree with me. I'm pretty sure that if men had to go through giving birth, there'd be a lot less babies in the world. But I remember one particular antenatal session that Pam and I went. It was Heatherwood Hospital at Ascot. I don't think they've got they don't do maternity stuff anymore, I don't think. But that's where our two were born. And we went to this antenatal session at the hospital there. And I remember this young lady who probably was older than 17 but didn't really look it, stood up and told us that when it came to layette, and I had no idea really what layette was, she said a good rule of thumb is that you need three of everything. I found myself being a little bit surprised. Would three nappies be really enough? Why exactly did we need three buggies? I believe they're now called baby transportation systems and cost about 10 times what they used to. Her advice may have been a bit oversimplified, but the fundamental message was a good one. We need to be equipped for what lies ahead as new parents of a tiny baby. We've been planning for months for the birth of our baby, but the birth, as we found out, is just the start of it. We were blessed with a beautiful baby boy. I was exhausted after about 14 hours of labor, I can tell you. We were able to take him home, and I remember walking through the main reception of Heatherwood Hospital out of the door thinking they're going to come running up to us at any moment and tell us that we are ill-equipped to have a baby, that we can't possibly take him home because we do not know what we are doing. But we got away with it and managed to get him home. And we fed him and changed him and encouraged him to sleep. And I found out that that was pretty much the cycle for months and months. You feed them, you change them, encourage them to sleep. So bringing a child into the world and caring for his or her physical needs is an essential and ongoing task. But we've spiritual needs as well as physical ones. In fact, we talk about human beings, don't we? We don't talk about human doings because we've got an important sense of being a person. As a child grows, they become increasingly someone who's got their own personality and will, their own character, likes and dislikes. Our first one took to drinking very milky tea very early on. And in fact, the midwife wasn't at all sure that we should be giving them a stimulant. I'd never realized that tea was a stimulant. When you see lots of old people sitting around drinking it, I think they give it to them to slow them down. Is this being recorded? I'll improve what I say from here on in. But so I didn't say that. So there's that sense, isn't there, that we expect them to be a bit like us. So Tom drank tea from an early stage. Will didn't drink anything other than Ribena or milk until he was about 18. So, you know, different children are different personalities. But we are spiritual beings as well as physical ones. Last year, I changed my car. Money changed hands, mainly going towards the garage, and a car came back from it. It's pretty rapid if I put my foot down, but obviously within the scope of the law. And it has more technology than I know how to use. But when it's parked outside the house, it still looks the same as when I'm driving it, except it's stationary. In contrast, my mum died before Christmas, and I was lucky enough to be there as she passed away. But I went to see her a few days later in the undertaker, and her body was there, but something was missing. Her life had gone, her spirit was missing, and what I was looking at was just the shell of the person she had been. Something very real had departed. Rufaro and Catherine and Darius and Michelle think that baptism is important, and that's why they've brought Oliver and Ella here today. Rather like birth, baptism is a spiritual one-off event, but it marks the start of a journey of faith, a spiritual journey. The baptism is over today, but the spiritual journey will go on. So just as Ella and Oliver are on a journey of spiritual discovery, so too all of us as Christians are on a journey of discipleship. I think it's helpful to think of the Christian life as a journey because there are good parts of any journey and there are hard bits too. There are times when we seem to make a lot of progress and other times when we seem to wait endlessly, not getting anywhere. Pam and I were lucky enough to go to Israel last November, and part of the journey was spent in queues and airports and, you know, security. Security to leave Britain and get on a plane, security to get into Israel. Someone in our party fainted, one of the young guys. Fainted because we were about an hour in the queue to go through security and the scanners going into Israel. But there were other bits. When we were going across the Mediterranean in this little tin cylinder, tell me about it, we were doing over 500 miles an hour at about 7 miles above the ground. You know, it didn't feel that fast. I didn't even spill my coffee. But, you know, there are bits of a journey that happen fast. There are bits of the journey that happen slowly. Now, before Pam and I went to visit Israel, we thought we'd better do some planning. We didn't have a nice young lady telling us we needed three of everything. And we'd never been there before, so we did some homework before we left to prepare ourselves for the journey. And we didn't get it altogether right. We looked at the projected weather on our friend, the internet, and despite being late November, it said the temperatures, daytime, would be around 20 degrees C. Now, Pam was sure that we would be warm enough in shorts and short-sleeve shirts, because after all, 20 degrees C is a warm summer's day, isn't it? And you can wear short-sleeve shirts and shorts for that. So we thought, okay, we're fine. But what we hadn't planned for was that there was quite a strong wind, particularly at the beginning of our trip. So with the wind chill, it felt an awful lot colder than 20 degrees. And I also hadn't really taken on board that it's winter there. I kind of knew that it was. But they're only 2 hours ahead. So sun goes down early there. It's dark by 5 o'clock. So if you've got things on in the evening to go out from your hotel and do, it's chilly. It was single figures. So I hadn't really packed enough warm clothes. On the other hand, the bright sunshine on several days beat down on the back of my head. And I'm astonished to find that my hair has got thinner, which was quite a surprise to me. And I could have done with a hat. Perhaps I should have got one of these sooner. I bought one of these a bit late in the week, really. But they're big, aren't they? And you can stick one of these on, and it keeps the sun off you. And if there's a sandstorm, you can keep the sand out as well. I'm serious, they get sandstorms. So what I really needed was one of these all along, wasn't it? So there you go. Being ready. I'll move that before you have to come back, Pete. Sorry. So that's the way it goes. We have to be ready. So in our Bible reading, we heard about Paul, who's written to Timothy. Paul had been a key follower of Jesus after his dramatic conversion on the road of Damascus, and we were very near that road when we were in northern Israel. He'd studied the Old Testament scriptures, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the other apostles, he became one of the greatest preachers of the early church, one of the greatest writers of the Christian faith. And he encountered this young lad, Timothy, in a place called Lystra or Lystra on one of his missionary journeys. And Timothy probably became a Christian because of Paul's preaching. Timothy had had a good foundation in the Jewish faith because his mum and his grandmother were devout Jews. And they became Christians too, and they encouraged him to grow in his faith and understanding. And a little while later, a few years had gone by, Paul returned to Lystra. He finds Timothy, who's grown into a well-respected disciple in that new fledgling church. And Timothy willingly joined Paul and Silas on their onward journey. So how was Timothy equipped to grow as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Paul writes that Timothy knew his teaching about Jesus. Timothy had seen Paul's way of life. He got that sense of Paul's purpose, Paul's faith, his patience, his love, his endurance in the face of difficulty. Paul had mentored Timothy. It's a word that's bandied a lot in management circles these days, mentoring. Who's mentoring you? But they did it 2,000 years ago. In those days, people had a rabbi, and they would follow a rabbi. They would follow his teaching. They would learn how to live, how to please God by doing what their rabbi told them is right. We put new words on things, but often we're just reinventing ideas that have come back to us from the past. So Paul had mentored Timothy, and as they traveled, and of course there were no planes zooming across the Mediterranean in those days, they had to go by ship, or they would walk, or go by ass or horse. It would take a long time, and I'm sure they talked a lot on their journeys, and Timothy would be mopping up from Paul all of this teaching, and he would think about it, and he grew from one of the greatest preachers and teachers, and he had this great foundation. In the passage, there are two important words, quite small words. They're verbs, know and continue. Timothy had acquired a great knowledge. He knew lots of stuff about what it was to be a good disciple, a follower of Jesus. And he knew the key to living a fulfilled life was to continue in what he learned. And Paul went on to give Timothy this charge. He said this, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." It was Timothy's calling to be a church leader in Ephesus, and Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus at one stage. It's the letter to the Ephesians. But that wasn't the only place where Timothy would serve. But leading a church is not the calling for all of us, or for all of us to be preachers and teachers. I'm really grateful for that. I don't want lots of people who want my job. And heaven forbid there should be a queue of wannabe preachers on a Sunday morning. I don't know whether your lunch is sitting in the oven waiting for the miracle of timers to bestow upon it electricity, which is going to cook it in time for you to get home. But just imagine half the people here thinking, I think I'm called to be a preacher, and form an orderly queue and all have their 15 minutes of fame. We might be here till supper time. How dreadful that would be, wouldn't it? Be in church all day. Gosh, an hour and a bit's enough. It is, believe me. So, we're called to be different things. Each of us has a different calling. We don't know what Oliver's calling will be yet. Last week, I thought he was going to be one of the first people I'd ever seen to put a remote control through the front of a flat-screen television. But just in time, he was restrained. Spencer is a little bit older, and as Spencer's got older, it's easier to see his character coming out, and you start to see what his calling will be. Ella is into everything, so it will be fascinating for Michelle and Darius to watch her develop and see what sort of calling she has, what she's going to be, what she's going to do with her life. I think it's a really exciting time to be young. You know, I'm still from the generation where I can remember going to a careers interview and told that if I didn't have connections with a merchant bank, I wouldn't get a job. You know, I think now we're in a world where there's much better equality between men and women, and much more opportunity for everyone to achieve their potential. I think it's a really exciting time. And those things are calling. God calls some people to be great bank managers, just as he calls people to lead churches. You know, what he puts on your life is a calling, and we must fulfill the callings that are put on our lives. We all have unique gifts and talents, and we use those to support and encourage one another. Part of the exciting adventure of being parents is to see our children grow and develop their own individual gifts and talents. One child may be fascinated by science, another may be artistic. I remember my two, when they were still in single figures and we lived in a village, coming home saying, Dad, look what we've found. A dead squirrel. The teacher was less impressed that we allowed them to take the dead squirrel in for show and tell the next day. But you know, our children grow up as different people. Some may be artistic. One may become a really good cook. Another, a visionary manager. As a parent, we need to help our child find their strengths and their passions and encourage them. Part of our job as parents is to give our youngsters opportunities to develop the spiritual side of their nature as well. And here at St. James, we can help with that. We've got a toddler group. We've got our preschool, which had an Ofsted inspection on Friday. And all was good. I can't say any more because officially yet we can't say what the outcome was. We have a messy church once a month, the fourth Sunday in the afternoon from 4 to 6, an opportunity for families to come. Second Sunday. Too much sun, you see, adult. Second Sunday. And it's a time for families to come together and do craft things together, and then have some time of celebration and some food together and celebrate birthdays. And then, you know, you can go home at 6:15, stick the kids through the bath, read them a bedtime story, done and dusted. Brilliant. On the fourth Sunday, we have our all-age service. So we've got an all-age service here next week at 10:30. And that's what we call our preschool Sunday. And it's also Mothering Sunday. So we're sort of celebrating our preschool and mothers next week. So we've got lots of things that we have, as well as our children's groups that have gone out today, and our youth groups and things happening to support you as parents, as your children grow. Baptism's the start of the journey. We need to be equipping our children with appropriate knowledge and appropriate experiences for them to grow spiritually as well as physically. As our children grow up, they have the knowledge then to make their own choice about whether they want to continue as a Christian. But we've given them the tools with which they can make that choice in an informed way. But for all of us, the activities of the church are designed to help equip us for life as disciples, wherever we are, whatever age we are in that journey. The encouragement of meeting with other Christians on Sundays, friendship and learning together in small groups, social gatherings like the cafe we run on a Thursday morning, walking groups on Tuesdays, clubs and fun events which happen on Saturday nights from time to time. We've got a May ball coming up in May, which is pretty good, because when I went to university, the May balls all took place in June. You heard it here first. It's an exciting journey. Are we on the journey? Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that you love us. Help us to grow and to flourish as disciples, and equip us for the journey. In Jesus' name. Amen.